It happened today, 64 years ago, and that's December 19, 1946. Guerrillas led by Ho Chi Minh began a series of attacks on the French forces in the place known then as Indochina. And that marked the beginning of what later on everybody will know and call as Vietnam War. It proved to be a long war and a very costly one for the U.S. military. When it finally ended in 1975, the U.S. was on retreat, and it will go down in history as the only war that the Americans lost. And here we see, for all the superiority of their weapons and resources, the government could not cope with the weariness of their national public. Kahit pa napakalakas ng Amerika bilang bansa, eh natalo siya ng isang mababang mga guerrillas na ragtag army at walang masyadong armas, subalit determinado sa kanilang ginagawa at maging ang isang superpower ay umatras. Eh, dito'y makikita natin, nangako ng nangako ang bansang Amerika noon na hindi nila pababayaan ang mga pwersang demokratiko na doon sa Vietnam, pero nung sila'y napagod na, eh, sumuko na rin. And today, Vietnam is a communist country. We see here the fact that even a superpower nation for all its forces did not prove faithful to its client states. Kahit pang napakalakas na bansa, hindi naging matapat sa kanyang mga binitawang pangako. And this is in stark contrast with what you and I should be able to confess about our God. This year, 2010, and indeed, we should be able to say throughout our lives, indeed, throughout the history of the people of God, it is the confession of all the people of God that God has proved faithful. And as we close this year, 2010, napapanahong pag-isipan natin at magsuri tayo at magbunyi sa tunay na katapatan ng Panginoon. Nagsusuri tayo sa ating mga sarili. Where are we at in terms of our experience of God, in terms of His calling, in terms of the world around us? Where are we at? Perhaps many good things have happened this year. In terms of your income, in terms of your career, perhaps in terms of your health, and that's good. And we praise God for that. But I must ask and insist on the issue, what about your soul? Are you right with God? On the other hand, it may be that this year was full of bad things, a mess when it comes to your circumstances. But has God abandoned us? And so in this brief series, I am borrowing the words of a favorite hymn as an umbrella to describe what should be every Christian's confession concerning this year. Great is thy faithfulness. And while they are words of the hymn, they are in fact the exact words of Scripture as we meditated upon them from Lamentations. But every part of this series is borrowing a line from the hymn to guide our meditation and examination. In our first meditation, we borrow that line, morning by morning, new mercies I see. And based on our meditation on Lamentations, we drew the message that every day there are evidences of God's faithfulness through His mercies to evoke our faith. Araw-araw ay may mga ebidensya ng katapatan ng Diyos sa pamagitan ng Kanyang maraming kahabagan at dapat itong mag-udyok ng ating pananampalataya. And then we borrowed another line in our second message, all that I have needed, thy hand hath provided. And based on our meditation on Hebrews, we drew the message that God's faithfulness is proven by His provision to challenge Christian contentment. Ang katapatan ng Diyos ay pinapatunayan ang Kanyang mga pagkakaloob, mga provision upang udyukan naman ang ating pagkakontento bilang mga Kristiyano. Now in conclusion, let me use another line from that hymn that says, as thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Since when and until when is God going to be faithful? I have three texts again for us tonight. Turn first to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 to 9. Deuteronomy chapter 7, as the Lord through Moses reminded the Israelites on where they stood as the people of God, these are very relevant words. Deuteronomy 7, verses 6 to 9, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments." My second text is in the New Testament, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we'll read verses 1 to 3. Second Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified just as it is with you, and that he may be, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one." And my last text is 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 to 13. 2 Timothy 2, 11 to 13. "This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself." So going back to the assurance of God to you, to the people of Israel, it serves as a good background to God's faithfulness. Magandang palibuti natin sa konsepto ng katapatan ng Diyos ay itong sinabi niya sa bayang Israel. Bakit niya inibig, bakit niya pinili, bakit niya ibinukod ang bayan ng Israel? At sinabi pa, tinawag niya ang bayan ng Israel na kayamanan niya sa lahat ng mga bansa. Ngunit baka magkaroon sila ng maling kaisipan, kanyang ipinaliwanag na hindi ito dahil sa sila'y mas maraming mga tao kaysa sa ibang mga bansa, hindi ito dahil sa ang kanilang sibilisasyon ay mas magaling kaysa sa ibang bansa. As a matter of fact, God reminded them that in comparison to the great civilizations of that time, they were the least of all peoples. So why then were the Israelites chosen and separated from the rest of the nations? Simply put, it is because of God's sovereign grace. They were chosen, they were loved by God because of his covenant pledge to his to the fathers of the Israelites. And now, what is it that God wanted the Israelites to know of him? Well, God singled this out, that you would know me as the God, the faithful God. Para bang sinasabi ng Diyos, nakita niyo ang aking mga ginawa, ang bagay na gusto kong marinig sa inyo na inyong ipapahayag sa buong mundo ay yung kanyang yung katotohanan na ang kanilang Diyos ay matapat na Diyos. Here we see how God delights in the thought that his people think of him as faithful. Now this is the background that Paul uses to emphasize the concept of faithfulness as it applies to the people of God in the New Testament. It is this unchanging reality of God being consistent with his covenant, consistent with his word. The constancy of that faithfulness is what Paul wants to draw from this background as he now applies this to Christians, which means you and me. As we try to relish the faithfulness of God, as we think of the year 2010 that is about to draw to a close, how do we think of the faithfulness of God? Well, let me draw this message for this afternoon. The faithfulness of God is time-tested in its unchanging constancy. The faithfulness of God is time-tested in its unchanging constancy. Ang katapatan ng Diyos ay subok sa panahon na hindi nagbabago, nagtutuloy-tuloy. Hindi pa bago-bago ang katapatan ng Diyos. By describing it as constant, we contrast this with something seasonal. Certain things are seasonal. Some fruit are seasonal. Some experiences in terms of weather are seasonal. But our God, when it comes to His faithfulness, is never seasonal, never irregular. It is constant. Tuloy-tuloy. Hindi pa bago-bago, hindi pa sulpot-sulpot. Ang katapatan ng Diyos ay tuloy-tuloy, hindi nagbabago. And that is what the Deuteronomy passage reminded the Israelites. God has been faithful for 1,000 generations. Now, that is not to be understood mathematically. Rather, the impression is what God has been to previous generations, God is the same to future generations. At napakagandang katiyakan ito sa atin. Tayong mga nagmana na mga nakalipas na henerasyon ng karanasan ng katapatan ng Diyos, yung katotohanan ng kanyang katapatan kay Abraham, kay Jacob, sa mga Israelita, sa mga mananampalataya ng bagong tipan, naniniwala ka ba na yon ang katapatan pa rin ng Diyos sa ating panahon? Sa iyong buhay bilang mananampalataya, ito ang pinapaangkin ni Apostol Pablo sa kanyang mga sinulatang mga sa kanyang mga isinulat na mga talatang ating binasa. Now, in what ways do we need this most? In two ways. First, in dealing with unbelievers, and secondly, in facing our unfaithfulness. In these two ways, we need most the thought that God's faithfulness is unchanging, it is constant. Na hindi nagbabago yung katapatan ng Diyos, dito natin dapat malaman ito sa panahon na tayo ay nakikitungo sa hindi mananampalataya at sa panahon na tayo ay humaharap sa ating kakulangan ng katapatan. First of all, in dealing with unbelievers. In the passage we read from the 2 Thessalonians, Paul appeals for prayer on behalf of the mission of the word. And his appeal, as translated in the more accurate versions, is that the word may run swiftly, na tumakbong mabilis ang salita ng Diyos. Free course in the New King James, run swiftly is what it means. Ninanais ni Pablo na ang salita ng Diyos ay kumalat. At hindi ba't yan din ang nais natin bilang iglesia? Now, he noted here the main obstacle to the free course of the word. What is the main obstacle? There are unreasonable and wicked men. Ito yung pinakabalakid ay may mga taong walang katwiran at masasama. Unreasonable and wicked men. And then he makes this striking contrast that on the one hand, as he looked at men, he concluded, not all have faith, but in contrast with that, what does Paul say? But the Lord is faithful. No, he doesn't say, not all have faith, we will be strong with our faith. No. In contrast with the fact of unbelievers out there, the Lord is faithful. What does it mean? Well, it means this: God is faithful in preserving the believer in this world of unbelief. Sukatin mo yung katapatan ng Diyos kung paano kanyang iningatan dito sa mundo ng kawalang pananampalataya. The appeal for prayer to be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men may strike fear because it suggests peril, danger. The common denominator we have with missionaries who go out there, expose themselves to danger, but you too and I live in a world of unbelief. Tayo rin nakikisalimuha sa mundo ng mga hindi mananampalataya. The immediate danger that would mean to messengers of the word is persecution. And of course, the immediate case that we have in mind is Paul himself. A missionary who exposed himself to many dangers until he himself died from the hands of unbelieving men. And we face that danger sometimes, do we not? Sometimes even from our loved ones who do not appreciate our faith. They may insult us, they may harass us, but we feel that form of persecution. But let me explain here that I believe Paul has another sort of unbelief in mind. It is not the unbelief so much of pagans, rather it is that unbelief disguised in faith. Let me explain. When Paul wrote the second letter to the Thessalonians, he had just been through, remember our most immediate preceding series, where Paul said, we do not lose heart. And I explained to you the writing of the second letter to the Corinthians was because of a painful visit where he was humiliated by the people in Corinth. They rebelled against him. Well, when he wrote the second letter to the Thessalonians, he had just been from that painful visit. And he concluded that many of those in Corinth who were disguised as believers really are not men of faith. And that is what he means by not all have faith. This is a warning that in your midst may be people who, more than just endangering your personal safety by persecution, the real danger is that you expose your faith to the possibility of compromise. Compromising your faith, being contaminated by the unbelief around you. And therefore, when Paul appealed to the faithfulness of God, the faithfulness he has in mind is that of God preserving his people from endangering their faith. More than just endangering personal safety, if you only realize how your faith is in danger, exposed to so much unbelief. Kung nalalaman lang natin kung gaano tayo na namimiligro sa ating pananampalataya sapagkat napapaligiran tayo ng mga hindi mananampalataya at napakadaling hawaan tayo ng kanilang kawalan ng pananampalataya. So let me tell you that it is no small blessing to think of the faithfulness of God in that He preserves us. Just think of this year, 2010, on any given day of this year, the danger of contamination by surrounding unbelief is very real. It's all around us. The letter by Jude in the New Testament uses a very graphic figure to illustrate this. In Jude verse 23, he says, others, when he was talking about dealing with unbelievers, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Sabi niya, mamuhi ka sa posibilidad na mahawaan pati ang iyong damit. The figure suggests a very contagious disease to be avoided. One of the most contagious diseases in the world is hepatitis A. And it is contracted by food intake. And there's no cure. And it is very contagious. And the irony is that we can contract it by the very act of thinking of sustaining yourself, eating food, and disease may be the result. But there is that greater contagion when it comes to our spiritual faith. That is what we are exposed to while in the world. And sometimes we can be quite careless. We consciously or unconsciously join gossip sessions. In these gossip sessions, unbelievers erupt with gripe and grin, and we absorb their spirit. We absorb even their views. Now, you may like some of these zombie movies. I'm not fond of them, but there is this notion that once a character is beaten by a zombie, he soon becomes a zombie himself. How many times do we carelessly allow ourselves to get beaten by unbelief's spirit and views? And Apostle Paul, explaining the power of these men who are without faith, that behind the evil people of the world is this force that Paul describes as the evil one. The evil one is the one manipulating these instruments to endanger our faith. That's our danger, brethren. But when at the end of the day, it is the word that you still hold fast to, when at the end of the day, having been exposed to so much unbelief, at the end of the day, you pray to your Father, you ask why. When by the weekend, you still find yourself attending church to be with the people of God, you ask why. And as we draw this year to a close, you are faithful. You are seeking to persevere in your faith. You ask why. And just as God told the Israelites, it's not because you are great in your number. We'll translate that for us. It's not because you're mighty. It's not because you're strong. It's not because of your will. But because the Lord loves you. For that alone, we owe God so much praise that in dealing with unbelievers this year, and sometimes carelessly, sometimes we laugh at those things we should not be laughing at. Sometimes we join words that we should not be joining, and yet the year will end and you're not fatally exposed to their lack of faith. Why? Well, the challenge is, do not forget that it is because of the faithfulness of God. He has not changed. And the instrument that we must remember here is, as Paul appeals to the Thessalonians, do not forget your prayer and mission for the word in this world of unbelief. Para tayo magpatuloy, para tayo maingatan, itong sinasabi ni Pablo sa mga taga-Tesalonica, manalangin kayo para sa salita. Ang ibig sabihin, ang mga mananampalataya na nakikisalimuha sa mga hindi mananampalataya ay maiingatan kung napapanatili nila yung kanilang malasakit sa pagkalat ng salita ng Diyos. If we remember how dangerous being surrounded by unbelievers, the instinct for self-preservation might have dictated withdrawal as the reaction. And in fact, many Christians in history have thought so. Na para wag mahawa, lumayo tayo sa mga hindi mananampalataya, magkaroon tayo ng sarili nating komunidad. Hindi yan ang ating solusyon. We are salt and light. We need to be in contact with the world. But what will preserve us is the faithfulness of God, yes. But the challenge to you is maintain in your contact with the world, maintain that concern for the Word of God. Panatilihin mo yung malasakit sa salita ng Diyos. It is the believer mindful of the word who makes it a matter of prayer. That is that Christian who will be concerned about persevering in his Christian testimony. And as we always say, perseverance is the evidence of preservation. Yung nagpapatuloy na Kristiyano, yan ang ebidensya na tayo ay iniingatan. Yes, be faithful in your vocation. Indeed, as you often hear from this pulpit, excel in your vocation. But be mindful of the Word of God. As you enjoy perhaps an upward movement in your career, ask yourself, what is my role in the running swiftly of the Word? There should be no conflict between your earthly vocation and the mission of the Word. If there is a conflict that you cannot bridge, what is wrong could not be the mission. There must be something we need to change in attitude, in the way we arrange our vocation, if it is in conflict with the mission of the world. Be a man, be a woman of the world, while you have to deal with this world of unbelief, and you will prove God is faithful to preserve you. We have had our falls this year. Wouldn't you testify that even at our worst self, Jesus did not disown us? And again, that reminds me of Luke's narrative of Peter's fall when he denied Jesus three times. We are told by Luke that at that moment that Peter denied him a third time and the cock crowed, Jesus looked at him and their eyes met. And Peter could not contain himself and broke down. But what does that imply? It means that even at the point of Peter's worst denial, Jesus did not disown him. And isn't that true of us this year? How terrible it is for people who have no assurance of God's faithfulness, whose only hope or sense of reality is someone who fails them, which is what happened in Vietnam. Or, the other day, you have heard probably of Mark Madoff, the son of that great swindler, Greg Madoff, committed suicide on the anniversary of his father's arrest. We are not told why, but you can just draw the most possible reason. He could not take. The father whom he respected was a swindler. He probably admired him from afar, probably treated him as his celebrity. Suddenly arrested for swindling. Record holder now of the biggest swindling in history. And it's my father who I have admired. And he lost all sense of reality, committed suicide. What a tragedy for people who have no God to rest upon in their moments of failure. But that is not our God. In our worst failure, God remains faithful. So as God is faithful, the challenge, brethren, is do not be discouraged even by your weaknesses and lapses. He does not disown you. Huwag kang manglupay-pay ng dahil sa iyong mga pagbagsak, sa iyong mga kabiguan, sa iyong mga kasalanan. Endure. Perhaps something stands out this year that reveals your weakness, but you are still His own. Sometimes it's people who easily give up on us, but never our God, never our Lord. The words of Jesus to the Ephesian church that has left its first love in Revelation 2 verse 5 is, "Remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works." He's not giving up on the fallen one. Proverbs 24:16 says, "A righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again." Psalm 133 and 4, "If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared." You often hear from me my admiration for David Brainerd, a great missionary, bold missionary to the Indians. But did you know that David Brainerd was kicked out of Yale because of a moral lapse involving his tongue? He said something that was a censorious criticism of the president of the university. Someone overheard him, nasumbong, nakik out. And you can imagine, siguro, iniisip niya, talaga tong dilang tong pahamak, walang mangyayari. And yet, what a great missionary. The tongue that once lapsed was greatly used by the Lord. Now, don't let your lapses pull you down. Even in your worst of circumstances, the Lord is faithful. And let every thought of the faithfulness of God be joined always to His graciousness and mercy. I ask you, as the year is about to draw to a close again, do you belong to the Lord? Do you know Him as faithful? Perhaps you enjoy His blessings. Perhaps you are glad about being part of the activities in the church. But I'm asking you, are you going to close this year with God as your Father? With God as your covenant God? Not just your God of circumstances and occasional enjoyment of His blessings. I want you to have this God who is covenant God, faithful God. And He will prove always Himself to be faithful when we have to face the danger of unbelief and when we have to face the reality of our unfaithfulness. Let us sing our last hymn. Ages pass by, earth's treasures all decay. All Christ's creation longs to see His day, but constantly the eye of faith can see Your plan unfolds, O Holy Trinity. And may it be our confession indeed that God has proven Himself faithful, holy, wise in all our experiences of this year 2010. Let's close in prayer. Tunay nga, Panginoon, na ipinapahayag ng aming mga puso ang katotohanan na Ikaw ay matapat na Diyos at ang katapatan Mo ay pinatunayan Mo na sa libu-libong henerasyon at nagpapatuloy pa. Hindi ito nababawasan, hindi kailangang dagdagan sapagkat ito ay lubos-lubos. At sana'y sa pagtatapos ng taong ito, ito ang tunay naming patutuo na bawat isa mong mananampalataya sa dakong ito ay maipapahayag namin na naging matapat ang Diyos sa amin. Indeed, we see this in the reality of our day-to-day exposure to unbelief. We are surrounded by unbelief. And if You have just left us to ourselves, we would have been fatally, caught the spirit, the views of unbelief, and would have turned us as unbelievers ourselves. But every day, we see the reality of Your preserving grace. And it behooves us to be mindful of the Word, that it is our mission. And while we are in this world with a vocation to fulfill, and that we must excel in whatever vocation You have given to us, but we must be mindful and prayerful of the mission of the Word. Father, forbid that we will become too much of the man of the world and less of being men and women of the Word. May we be more and more be men and women of the Word while we have to deal with this world of unbelief. And indeed, You have proven Yourself again and again faithful in our preservation. If we will end this year 2010 still holding to the Word, still praying, still being with the people of God in the church, it is not because of our might, not because of our strong will, but only because You are faithful. And indeed, we must confess that this year we have again bouts of our unfaithfulness. There have been periods that we have fallen, periods that we have not been as faithful as we should be. Yet, You remain faithful, for You will not deny Yourself. Indeed, Father, a righteous man may fall 7 times and yet rise again. You have not dealt with us as we deserve. And indeed, we confess with the psalmist, if You, Lord, should mark iniquities, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with You, that You may be feared. And constantly, we have been the beneficiaries of Your pardon, that indeed, even when we are at our worst, You did not leave us to our worst circumstances. You have constantly showed your faithfulness even when we are unfaithful. And because of this, may we not allow our lapses and weaknesses to discourage us, but all the more persevere with the thought of your graciousness. And so as we end this year 2010, we pray, Lord, for those who are still outside the pale of grace, those who do not know you to be their covenant God and Father. They may know you in the circumstances of blessings in providence, but they have not made a relationship with you through the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. We pray that you would reach out to them. And if it is in your mercy that they will not end this year still an outsider to the faith, be with us and help us, Lord, to finish this year with our hearts brimful with gratitude, for our God is a faithful God. In Jesus' name we pray all these things with thanksgiving. Amen.